So it's been such a blessing to be here at this camp meeting. Thank God for Brother Milby, for this good church. Brother Sanders, our host, and that's been such a blessing. I appreciate the good work everybody's done to make this meeting possible. It's so good to see some of you that I don't get to see very often. And you've been so gracious to us, and I thank God for that. Matthew 26, verse number 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. It is some of the most familiar scripture in the word of the Lord. My granddaddy says that all scripture should be familiar scripture if you read your Bible like y'all do. And it is the time when the Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's beginning with strong crying and tears to pray unto his Father. And he asks his disciples as he carries them with him in the garden to pray for him that his soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And he begins to pray and he even takes John and Peter and James a little farther with him and sits them down and says, Will you watch and pray with me? And he begins to share his heart and how heavy he is and then goes even farther and begins to pray about the cup of the wrath of God. And as he comes back, he comes and finds them sleeping. And he says, Could you not have watched and prayed with me for just 1 hour? He says in verse number 41, Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The mind or the heart is ready and disposed to bear the trials that yet lie ahead. They didn't understand how serious a time they were about to face, but our Lord understood and he knew. He understood that they would face great trials, great temptation, great stress during even the days when he would be on the cross and in the tomb. And while he was doing his work, that they would yet face things for which they were not altogether equipped to bear and to deal with. And he says, Your natural feelings through the fear of danger is weak. Your spirit means well. You'll try to do your best, but your flesh will be likely to lead you astray when the trial comes. And though you may have strong faith and believe now that you'll not deny me, but human nature is weak and it shrinks at trials. And you said, therefore, strengthen yourself and guard yourself. As for strength from on high, this was intended to excite them to be on their guard. And my friend, lest the weakness of human nature should take over and they should be insufficient to sustain them in the hour of their temptation. In other words, your inclinations are good. Your intentions are good. You're truly sincere. Your good purposes, however, will be overpowered by your timidity. The Lord knew after he passed and gave his soul to his Father on the cross that his disciples would run in fear and be found in hiding for 3 days until the day of the resurrection. He says to them, I know you wish to remain steadfast to your master, but you're not able to do it in and of yourself. Your fears will lead to faithless desertion, and you better pray and seek God's face that you might find help and find hope and be strengthened. Though your spirit is willing, your flesh is weak. In some of the Gospels, it's translated that the spirit is truly ready. In other words, it's on guard that the spirit has good intentions. The problem is that we're living in a house of clay that's in enmity with God, and it does not have good intentions, and it fears that it has frailties and the shortcomings. May I say unto you that these men who walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, broke bread with our Lord Jesus, if they had the Lord say to them, Your flesh is weak. If Peter the great fisherman, if the Lord said unto him, Your flesh is weak. If John the beloved, the Lord said to him, Your flesh is weak. Then unto us today we can surely be certain that our flesh is weak. It's an enmity with God. It does not love the Lord, nor the things of God. I mean, that's why sometimes when you mean to do well, you don't do well. When you try to do right, you don't do right. That's why Paul said, Oh,
blessed man that I am. He'll deliver me from the body of this death. This flesh is weak. Oh, God help us. That's why sometimes, my friend, though you've intended to visit and to pray and to study and to get along with God, yet everything else in the world gets in the way. And we blame it on external things. But the reality is, the thing between us and God is this whole thing right here. That's what's killing us. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. My friend, we may have the best of intentions, but the weakness of the flesh hinders the workings of the faith and the willingness of the spirit. The flesh is weak. Watching the dynamic of these men, my friend, in Matthew 26 and in the other gospels that give these accounts, is quite interesting to see the weakness of their flesh. And I couldn't preach on this altogether. 4 hours in a 40-acre field, and I know that. So just got to hit a few high spots this morning. I hope can be a help to you. I want to say you'll never overcome the weakness of your flesh until you understand the weakness of the flesh. Long as like Samson, you think you can lay your head in the devil's lap and take a nap and everything be all right, and you'll lose your strength and you'll lose your power. It'll take people, my friend, that understand the wickedness and wretchedness of this house of clay that we're living in, and we'll turn to God for strength and for power if we're ever going to get help. And so I'll say this morning that the flesh is weak. We find in these verses that we've read that the flesh is weak and sleeping. Three times the Lord finds them here sleeping when they were supposed to be praying. Verse number 40, verse 43, and in verse 45, all three times. And then, my friend, he finally says to them, just sleep on now. You've slept past the time. You could have got help. You could have been strengthened. You could have been a blessing to me. You could have stood by my side. Instead, you slept all the way through it. Just sleep on now. Take your rest. I want to tell you, friend, there'll come a time if we waste our time and waste our days in this world and sleep through the days when God's trying to help us. And my friend, we put ourselves out, and the weakness and frailty of the flesh blinds us to God's work in our lives. And the Lord will say, the days you could have got help are past. I tried to strengthen you for the upcoming trial. I tried to warn you what yet would come, but you slept through it. Just sleep on now, and you'll not be ready for the trial. You'll not know how to deal with the difficulty. A fear overwhelm you, and it'll be too late to do anything about it to him. He's weak, the flesh is weak and sleeping. They had every intention of praying. I can see them as the Lord goes out in the garden. And they loved this man. And when all others forsook him, when he said, you got to eat my body and drink my blood, and they asked, he asked them, we also go away. But they said, where shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. They loved him enough to drop everything in life and to fall after him. Eat raw corn in the field on the Sabbath day with unwashed hands. Receive criticism of my friend from everybody. And they loved this man. When he told them, my soul is sorrowful unto death, they wouldn't have just said, oh well, it'll be all right. But they must have found a place to pray. And they intended to pray. While he prayed, that the weariness of the flesh set in. And my friend, the sleepiness of the flesh set in. And the time of prayer, they got weak. And they quit praying. And my friend, they started sleeping. I found myself a lot of times. And my friend, go to my prayer place and begin to seek God. And we're so wicked. And I must speak for myself. And my friend, get in that place where I pray. I ran to my feet after just a few moments. An hour's worth of conversation with my wife would seem like just a minute or two. But I prayed 4 or 5 minutes and it seems sometimes like an hour or two. It's the weakness of the flesh. It's the weariness of the flesh. And we find ourselves sleeping in the time of prayer. Oh, my Lord. Matter of fact, this seems to be a pattern in the lives of the disciples. Every time something big's about to happen or is happening, my Lord, in the Gospels you find them sleeping. And He takes them up on a high mountain in Mark chapter number 9. And to my friend, while He prays, they sleep. And about the time they wake up, my friend Elijah and Moses is there. And that Jesus has been translated in this glorified body. And His magnificent power and glory is being shed abroad. And like the midday sun on that mountain. Well, my Lord, I wonder how long it had been that way. I wonder how long it stood there and told with Moses and Elijah how much had Peter, James, and John already missed out on because of their sleepiness. I tell you, we're bad in a time of power. I've seen folks in meeting time. And of course, when you pass through the church, I sit up on the stage and I like doing that. And the Brother Milby has the privilege of sitting up here and seeing the faces of these people. And to my friend, you can see it. As God's touching some of them, and others is just sleeping through it. About that time, it breaks out, and somebody lets out a war whoop. And the one who's asleep perks up and looks around and wonders what's going on. And they've already missed an awful lot that they could have had from God had the weariness and weakness had the flesh not been in the way and hindered them from experiencing power of God. Be sober. Be vigilant. Open your eyes. Redeem the time. Wake up, O sleeper and slumber. And my friend, get alert to what God's wanting to do in your life. My God, have mercy. In the time of prayer and power, in the time of planting, they slept. My friend, while it was, the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 13, verses 24 through 30 gives a story of the parable of the wheats and the tares. And the Bible said, while the men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the weeds. Oh, may God help us. While the Lord's wanting to sow seed, while He's wanting to cultivate the ground of our lives and our churches, and the weakness of the flesh steps in, and we get lackadaisical and complacent, and we wait for the preacher or somebody else to do something. And all the while, the busiest one amongst us is the enemy, amen. And we wind up with a mess when we wake up like Rip Van Winkle. My friend, we went to sleep, woke up, and everything was changed. Some folks have slept for 20 years while their church was going to hell, and they woke up one day and said, where'd all this mess come from? And little by little, the devil been sowing his seeds, and then slept through it all. May God open our eyes, wake us up out of our slumber, help us to understand the weakness of our flesh, and turn unto Him when we get sleepy. Lackadaisical, oh God, help us. The flesh is weak and sleeping. I want to say, if you'll watch these scriptures, you'll find that the flesh is weak and slipping, S-L-I-P-P-I-N-G. Slipping, not sleeping, but slipping. My friend, Matthew 26 tells us in verses 33 through 35 that Jesus is such to revealed unto His disciples how He'd be, my friend, how He'd be killed, and on the third day rise again. And the Bible says that Peter said, though others might be offended in you, I never will get offended. I'll go with you all the way. I'll die for for you if it takes it. Now listen to me. Peter wasn't just blowing smoke. He meant every word he was talking about. He intended fully to go with Jesus to death. When they come get Jesus in the garden, does he not draw his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus? He was trying to cut his head off. But he wasn't much of a swordsman. I'm telling you, friend, he intended to go all the way. But Jesus knew the weakness of his flesh. And he knew just as surely as when one verse he'd be a saying, I'll die for you. He'd go from being willing to die for him and to going to sleep on him, to deny him three times, to cursing and swearing that he never knew the Lord, to weeping in a field bitterly, to think it had been cut out altogether. I want to tell you, friend, you may stand and put your shoulders back, put your thumbs behind your lapels, and say, I won't ever go that route. And I won't ever do what others do. And I won't ever. It's real easier for us to say that and have good intentions. But if you're not going to ever, you'll have to trust in God, for the weakness of your flesh will destroy you if you don't. You can't make it by yourself. You're not a match for the devil. No use for you to roar and expect him to run. You are not a match for him. You're not going to overpower him. You're not going to intimidate him. You'll have to get near in the God. The weakness of the flesh will overwhelm you. You can't pet it, it'll stay. You can't feed it, it'll grow. And one day it'll get more than what you can imagine. And it'll take over on you. And what you thought was an easy, slow decline will turn into a mighty, a steep cliff. And before you know it, you'll be in a mess. And it's because of the weakness of the flesh. And watch and pray, lest you're under temptation. Just a little while of warming your hands around the devil's fire like Peter did, and you'll be doing the same thing Peter did. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. The weakness of the flesh is weak in sleeping. It's weak in slipping. I want to say this morning, it's weak in sorrow. It's weak in sorrow. And my friend, in chapter number 26, down in verse number 75, it says of Peter, said, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. The Bible tells us in Luke 22 and 61, before Peter denied him the third time, or about that time, that Jesus turned and might have been not in within sound, that Jesus turned and looked on him. Oh, my Lord. And Peter was reminded of his promises broken. He was reminded of the predictions of the Lord. His heart broke into a thousand pieces, and he ran, my friend, into the field, and he wept bitterly at my friend, and he must have out. I'll never see him again. And the 3 days he's in the tomb, he sat in hiding and said, would to God I had one more chance to tell him I'm sorry. Would to God I could just let him know that I didn't mean for it to be this way. Would to God I could tell him, if he'd give me another chance, I'd be faithful. I wouldn't go this route. And he sat in hiding and in sadness and in sorrow, not knowing what in the world to do. He thought that he'd never see. He thought he'd never see the Lord again. Matter of fact, it's worse than that. He and the rest of them, his brother, I believe his brother Terry preached so aptly about the other night. I think it was, looked for a kingdom. He's looking for a place on this world, and he thought that had been the plan of God. And he said to him, Brother Kenny, oh Lord, if I just had done what I was supposed to do, this would have never happened. And now, because I've been disobedient, and because my flesh has been weak, and because I didn't heed the warning to pray when the master told me to pray. Now the whole plan has been foiled. Because I messed up, God can't even do what He was wanting to do. What He tried to accomplish and wanted to accomplish will never be done. And it's all my fault. You ever felt that way? I mean, there's been days where I felt like I messed up around the church and I didn't do things right. And I sent things with the best of my intentions went awry. And I said, my Lord, God won't never bless the church. And God won't never touch this place. And God won't work what He wanted to work. And it's all my fault. Aren't you glad? Thank God that the merciful Lord will get up on the third morning and say, go tell the disciples and Peter. Aren't you glad He'll put His arm around you and say, feed my sheep. Woo! If God threw us all away the first time we sinned or failed Him in the ministry, they wouldn't none of us be here today. But I'm glad, thank God, when the flesh is weak, our Lord is strong. And in our weakness, He's made strong. Woo! Bless His high and holy name. And He can use us if we'll yet turn to Him and ask for strength.
Praise His high and holy name. The flesh is weak and sleeping, slipping in sorrow. I want to say this morning, the flesh is weak in shock. If you'll notice when it was that Jesus died on the cross, was buried in Joseph's tomb. On the morning of the resurrection, Peter and John come to the tomb and they see not the angels and they see not the messengers. All they see is a tomb that's empty. The grave clothes left behind and the napkin that was about His face folded neatly off to the side. And when John saw it, the Bible says he believed. That's what the scripture says. But when Peter saw it, the Bible said in Luke 24 that he left that place wondering what it was that had happened there that day. He was in shock. He didn't understand what is going on. He didn't understand the work of God. He didn't understand a plan of God. I want to tell you, many times our preachers act like we all know what God's up and doing and everything. Like we're flamboyant or some sort of spook or hang or something or other. But I want to tell you what the reality is. There ain't none of us got no idea what God's got in store for the future. And we don't really know what He's going to do or how He's going to do it. And I find myself sometimes I'm watching Him work and He works right the opposite of what I thought He was going to. And I find myself scratching my head and wondering in shock of what God's doing and why He's doing it that way. I'll tell you, our flesh is weak like that. We don't understand all the ways of God. His ways above our ways, His thoughts above our thoughts. And my friend, His past far beyond us. And my Lord God, help us to focus in on Him. Learn to trust Him. And my friend, learn to know that He knows what He's doing. And He'll do everything just exactly right. Amen. That's right. That's right. My Lord. My little granny used to sing, learning to lean on Jesus. Had to sit and tell a little recitation about this boy had been down there, didn't know what in the world was going on, didn't understand everything in his life that was happening. I said he didn't know if there was a God or not. A college professor told him that man was like a fly. He was here and gone tomorrow. And when his pen gone, his life was all over with. And he didn't go anywhere. Another one said there was no God. And he wondered what in the world that the story was. Some said the Bible was not true. He wandered down through the woods and stumbled in on an old blacksmith shop. When he came in, he saw hammers are laying all over the floor, broken and busted, worn. My friend, the handle's broken. And he asked the old blacksmith, he said, how many anvils has of these hammers worn out? And he said, son, you don't understand. The anvil don't wear out. It's like the good old word of God. Men in their weakness have chipped and hammered away at it over time. That said, God's word's still true. The hammers might break, but the anvil never does. Hey!
day. He stepped out of that place. The sunlight came through the trees and struck him on the face. He said, I know now what I must do. I must learn to lean on Jesus. Woo! Oh God, how better a life would we all have it if we'd been leaning on self and on the preacher and on the church and on mom and dad and on tradition and learned to lean on Jesus. How much better would our lives be? Oh my Lord. The flesh becomes weak sometimes, I'll say in service, and I'm closing with this. Comes weak in service. John chapter 21, after the resurrection of the Lord and his appearance to the disciples a time or two. Not just once, but time or two. And we find Peter, he says, I go fishing. And the other said, we also go with thee. And as they begin to get out on the boat, and there they begin to fish, they fish all night. And they didn't catch anything at all. At least they didn't catch no fish anyway. If they caught something, it wasn't fish. It wasn't anything that was worth keeping. And the next morning, there's a figure of a man whom they could not recognize, it seemed. Began to cup his hands over his mouth and say, children, have you meat? And they said, no. And he said, cast your nets on the other side and you'll find. And now they might have thought to themselves, why, this man's crazy. We fished on both sides of the boat all night. And then fish won't all of a sudden just show up. But we might as well, before we pull in, before we stop, before we give up, we might as well cast the net just one more time. Woo! And then when they cast it just one more time, at the voice of the Lord, they brought in an abundance of fishes. I want to tell you something, friend. If you're not careful, you'll get weak in service and you'll say there's no need to cast the net again. We're not catching anything. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody's getting right with God. Nothing's happening around the church. I've cast the net my last time. I'll speak his name no more. I'm going to lay her down and there's no need to keep it on. Folks ain't going to listen no how. They won't do what I'm saying, no ways. But the Lord's is saying this morning, woo! Cast the net one more time. I pitch around one more time. Don't quit yet now. There's a better home awaiting. And just listen to my voice. Cast out the net, and ye shall find. Hallelujah! Don't quit now. Hey, the roads you travel now might be rocky, but tomorrow it might turn to gold. Just keep on keeping on. Keep on serving God. And don't give in or give out. You might quit one day or one cast before the drought of fishes. Oh, come in. Just keep on serving God. Oh, my Lord. In prosperity, we have sometimes is what kills us more than anything. When everything seems like it's going good. Because then sometimes we sit back and wait for God just to do it for us. And though the Lord had already had fish caught, cleaned, and cooked, he still wanted them to cast the net one more time. Somebody said, we ain't saving nobody no how. Had a fellow tell me the other day, he said, well, since if I believe what you believed, and believe that we couldn't save nobody no ways, he's Camelite. And believe that we couldn't save nobody no ways, he said, I'd just quit working for the Lord altogether. I said, well, see, the thing is that you don't understand this. I know that he's the one catching, and I know the one he's the one cleaning and cooking. But he said for me to cast the net. And that's all I know to do is just cast the net and trust him to take care of all the rest. Amen. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning. Just cast the net. Cast the net. Cast the net. Oh, praise God. In the midst of pleasure and popularity, and my friend, the Lord's telling us, cast the net. And when they got to shore, he said, you're not done yet. I take these fish that you've caught and bring them unto me. hadn't just a little bit. Now he already had fish. And my friend, they didn't catch fish, so he put them in the net. And still he said, bring the fish which ye have caught. Aren't you glad? Thank God. For when the times when you've done nothing and God's done it all, the Lord comes by your way when you're on the bottom and said, son, you done real good. I appreciate you preaching. I appreciate you living for God. I appreciate you praying for your young ones. And he wraps his arms around you. And he said, now that you've seen this, just go feed the sheep. Now that you've seen this, just follow me. Amen. Woo! Bless his high holy name. When your flesh is weak, just keep on serving God.
Don't give in to the weakness of the flesh. But surely as sure as the scripture said, the flesh is weak, the same verses said, the spirit is ready. In you there not only abides that enmity with God, that old flesh man, but there is a willing spirit. If you've ever been saved by the grace of God, a willing spirit that wants to serve God, and wants to love God, and wants to walk with God. And though your flesh may seem to stand in the way, if you'll summon within you that power that battles the flesh, and seek after the help of God, the Lord will strengthen the inner man, and you can keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. Don't let the weakness of the flesh give you an excuse to stop in the way. Summon the strength of the Spirit of God and serve Him to your last breath. Die in the battle with your boots on, and God will honor you and bless you. Amen. Thank you. Praise Him.